Oh, hallelujah. There you go. There you go. You can be seated. Oh, Lord. Somebody looking at me like, you are crazy. Hey, tonight, we are doubly blessed. Not only do I have one of my best friends in the whole world here tonight, I have a second best friend of all the world here as well. Pastor Adam pastors the Christian Life Church in, I forget the city now, Shipley, that's where it's at, England. And of course, he and his lovely wife, Faye, were just married this past April, I think it was, or May. And we didn't get a chance to go to the wedding, so congratulations. But what an awesome man of God, very prophetic. And his pastor, which is an apostolic head, really, Paul Hubbard, travels the world, prophesies to nations and kings, literally in Nepal, having an audience with the president, or they call him a king. They call him a king, don't they? The new president. And gave a word of the Lord to him. It was just right out of the Bible. And the old king as well. So, you know, just powerful to have this man here with us. We've known Paul now for many, many years and have a great respect for his ministry. And when I knew he was going to be in the States, I said, what are you doing Wednesday night? And then what are you doing Thursday night? So he's going to be with us in Lorain tomorrow night. But we get him here this evening. So without further ado, let's welcome Apostle Paul Hubbard.
Thank you so much. Hello. It's nice to be with you this evening. Praise the Lord.
I'm not good at this kind of stuff.
Oh, it's okay.
Hey, can one of you guys help me that know more about this?
While we're doing that, let's turn to Romans. And thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, this is okay. I might be jumping around. Romans chapter 8. I hope that you can all understand this real English. This is the real English, the real McCoy. It is wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful to have Adam with me as well. He is a real son to me. He's not actually my real son, but he is a real son in the faith. He's a real son. And it's a great privilege and blessing to have him with me. And it's always wonderful to be with Pastor Louis and Tina and to see them again. And it's great. Thank you so much. Well, tonight I want to talk about something called the spirit of sonship. And the reason that I want to do that is not because particularly I actually wanted to do it, but I was sat on the plane while I was coming over, minding my own business, and I felt like the Lord just kind of cut in. He didn't understand that I was tired and grumpy. No. But he cut in and he gave me just a word and some thoughts that he put there for me, for you tonight here. So I want to be obedient in sharing those things with you. And I also saw a picture tonight as we were just praising the Lord there. And I know that this city is a city of bridges. But I saw a bridge tonight that was being built from the west to the east. And something, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to declare it and proclaim it, but something is going to happen because of the two churches, the west side and the east side. Something is going to happen, and it already has happened in the spirit in this city. But the way that this will happen is when you embrace one another at either side of the city. That God's going to do something with your hearts, one for another. And even though you may not know everybody on that side, you will have opportunity to get to know one another. And when you do that and it becomes a reality, something is going to happen in this city. Because the father and mother of this house carry something for this whole region. This is your father and mother. This is a father and mother of this whole city, this whole region. And they carry something for this region. And when you begin to reach out to one another, not just in prayer, not just prophesying it, not just saying it, but actually beginning to do it in reality, something is going to be enormously powerful in the city. It's going to release something in a whole new way. A whole new way. And this bridge that I saw that was being built had like lots of like roads coming off it, going out all over. And it was beautiful. And I'm just telling you, something's going to happen. Big time. Big style. Well, you can say amen if you want. But he does need some co-workers. He needs some co-workers for this. And I don't know about you. I mean, I didn't even think about this tonight. But whenever I come to the States, I hear about this divide that separates West from East. In this city, in this region. Don't you say it doesn't exist. It does exist. I hear about it all the time. And somehow that thing's going to come down because Jesus made the two one. He made the two one. Does anyone agree? Oh, come on. Father, in Jesus' name. It says that he's made the two one. So somehow in your spirit, in your heart, you have got to find it in some place to reach out and begin to bless one another. And in so doing, something will happen. Anyway, that was aside. So let's just go here. verse 10. I want to read from Romans 8, verse 10. It says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the revealing of the sons of God." Listen to this. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." It's a beautiful passage. But it's all about life. All about life of the Holy Ghost. All about life in the Spirit. It's all about being a son. And I cannot help but feel that yet there are many people in the body of Christ who just need to be encouraged to grow into sonship, real true sonship. And this sonship is not something that is miserable. It's not something that is difficult. It is something that is most wonderful. It's something that's exciting and powerful and explosive and is absolutely fabulous to walk in. And if we only understood, I was laughing the other day because we came through Newark. And as you come in, it says the face of the nation as we come through the customs at Newark. And I tell you, if that is the face of this nation, then we need to pray harder and harder. And unfortunately, some people, when they get a uniform on, they actually think that the uniform gives them authority. And in many ways, it does give them authority. But I just mentioned this to Adam. I said, you know, when you get real authority, when you really get authority from God, it is something else. It is something completely different to anything that the world offers. Completely and utterly different to anything that the world can give you. And it is full of the liberty of the Lord. It's full of power. It does things that you have never seen before. Oh God, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I was reminded tonight, I keep being reminded about this, but the other, whenever it was that I went to Nepal just recently, and I'm saying this, I want to encourage you, because what I want to talk about tonight is us growing up into being sons, real sons. I know it says that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it says, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, we all know that. That's what it says. That's it. It's a fact. It's a done thing in heaven. And you will be fully brought into that wonderful truth. But God wants you to enjoy that truth right now, right here, on the earth. His kingdom's coming on the earth, in the earth, and it's for you. It's not for us when we get up there, although we will enjoy it when we get up there. But actually, it's for now. So he wants us to enjoy being sons. So it's not just that he wants us to read it as a scripture and go, yes, that's true, because we must do that as well. But actually, we're to see it. We're to begin to see it. You've got to begin to look at yourself in the mirror. And I know I go on about the mirror over the other side all the time. I go on about the mirror, but you've got to look in the mirror and go, I am a son of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am an ambassador. I am a witness. I am an heir, a joint heir. Huh? We've got to begin to say these things, but as we say them, we have got to see those things. And the more that we see them, and the more that we say them, the more we become assured about it. You understand me? That's what happens. And the more that you become assured about it, then you begin to embrace it. That's what it says in Romans somewhere. Hebrews, isn't it? Is it Hebrews? It's Hebrews chapter 12, I believe. 11? Okay, you'll find it and tell me later. But it's Hebrews, and it says, you know, that we see, and then as we see, we become assured, and as we're assured, we embrace, and as we embrace, we confess, and what we confess and do those things, we receive. So you see, I see that there are many people who know the scripture. They know it. But actually, it's not just to know it, it's to know it. You've got to know it so that you walk like a son. So I want to encourage you to walk like a son. Because this has been my privilege and my honor to walk as a son and to know that I am a son. It's a phenomenal feeling. I mean a feeling. I don't just mean like I know it. I mean I really know it. I know that he kind of looks at me and he goes, "There's my son." Ooh. Shh. I know he does this. Because he loves me, you see. It's great when you know he loves you. Ooh, yeah. It's wonderful. But anyway, we were in Nepal, and Nepal just got a new president. And I said to Harry, so far I've met 17 various prime ministers and governors and authorities and all these people. And I just said to Harry, I would like to meet the president. And Harry looked at me and he went, okay. And I thought, I don't know how he's going to do that. But anyway, he said, okay, you're going to meet the president. So off he went. And he took a telephone and he made this arrangement to meet the president next morning. So I got to the house, the president's house, which is now, it was where the king lived, but the king's been hidden in some palace somewhere else. He's not in the public eye anymore, but the president was in the house and the king's limos were all there and around. And we came to the gate and the man looked at us and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I am an ambassador and a servant of the Most High God. And I've come to see the president, and I need to see him now because I've got a very important message." And he looked at me, and he went, "Okay, okay." And he knocked on a big gate, and they let him in through this little hall, and he ran. And he came back again. This is all absolutely true, I'm not, honestly. He came back again, and he looked at me, and he said, "Who are you again?" I said, "I am an ambassador and a servant of the Most High God, and I have a message, a very important message for the president." And he looked at me again and he went, "Okay." And he ran off again. And then the next minute he came back And he said, come in, come in. And there were all these people sat in the garden waiting to see the president. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm sitting at the end of that queue. Lord, you sent me. I've got a message for this man. I need to be somewhere up there. So anyway, this guy took me straight to the front of the queue. He said, just sit down there. So we sat down there. There were three of us. We sat down. And as I sat down, the Lord said to me, he gave me a verse. And he said, as Moses lifted up the pole with a snake on it in the desert, so will Jesus be lifted up. And I thought, where's that? And I got that. And by the time I'd looked at the scripture, some guy came running to me and he said, come on. The president wants to see you now. You've only got 5 minutes. So anyway, we went in the house and I sat down. And of course, you never know what you're going to say. But that's why it's so exciting. You never know what you're going to say. It's just like preaching. You never know what you're going to say. So we sat down in his house and we began to talk. And he said, so what message have you got? And I said, well, first of all, I don't know what this means, but I just want to give you this word. I was sat in your garden just now, and the Lord spoke this to me, and he said something about Moses, and we looked at the word together, and I said, there's someone that's sick in your household. And he started to cry. He said, yeah, there is someone who's sick in my household. And he said, more than that, he said, both me and my wife are doctors. And that verse, of course, is the symbol of doctors, isn't it? Yeah. So straight away, you see, the president, he's not just a president, but now he's a man. And now his heart is opened, and he begins to share his life with me. And we're all sat in the room, and for 40 minutes, I was able to tell him about Jesus, and I was able to tell him some secrets about his own country, about what was going on in the hills and what was happening with the Maoists and what was happening in the government, because the Lord had previously spoken to me about it. Now, the reason that I'm telling you this is because it's fantastic, isn't it? And I just love it. But the reason that I'm telling you is that there's absolutely no difference between me and you. You are called to this very same thing. To be a son and to walk in this kind of level, dimension. It's just that we don't understand that this is what we can walk in. But when you begin to understand it, you begin to go, actually, all creation is waiting for me tonight to speak the word of God. You see, because what's really happening is that when I'm speaking, this word is touching our hearts, but actually in the heavenlies, it's doing something. So demons and principalities are having to listen to it, and they are shaking and trembling because they do not like the word of the Lord. Oh, they hate the word of the Lord, but they have to listen to it. You understand me? Because Jesus, when we become sons, we receive some authority. And of course, every believer has authority. But of course, every believer has the power of God inside them. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you and me. So we have this same power on the inside of us. And even though we know it, because we read it and we've said it and we sing it, we don't really believe it. But you've got to begin to see it. You've got to begin to see that you are alive in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Oh, glory. Could have a preaching storm tonight. So, sonship, the spirit of sonship is what I want to talk about. Because what I found out is that this is not just something that is a transaction between me and Jesus. Although it is a transaction between us, I found out that nearly everything that happens this way happens this way. So I have had to learn what it means to serve other people. I've had to learn what it means to be disciplined. I've had to learn what it means to be submitted and accountable. I've had to go through things in this time, I've had to go through things that are difficult to walk through. And everything that I say about my Father in heaven and about Jesus as being my Savior has somehow had to become a reality this way. It's had to become a reality. So it's not just that I can say that I am submitted to Jesus, but actually that submission to Jesus shows itself in the fact that I have a submission to those who are on the earth that God has placed around me and that I am accountable to. Now, this is one of the things that I think many Christians have not understood. Because whatever is this way must be this way. So in other words, if I say that I love God, but don't love my fellow brothers and sisters, then actually the Word of God says that I'm a liar. So you understand this. So you see, it doesn't matter. Well, I love the people in the church. Okay, well, let's go a little bit further than that. Let's kind of go into the other churches. Let's kind of reach out in the spirit and touch the workplace and the school. And let's see where the love is. Let's see where the grace of God is. Because this truth that we declare must be an internal truth. Otherwise, we make him to be a liar by the way that we walk. We deny the truth in walking an opposite way, in an opposite spirit. Now, this is what the law... I don't understand it, but this is the word that the Lord just dropped into my heart. And I'm going to try and explain it a little bit. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18 and 19. Now, I actually believe, because whenever I come into this region, I know that I come in the grace of God under the authority of someone that was here first. And that is Pastor Louis and Tina, who actually have been given an authority by the Holy Ghost, by the Father, by Jesus, to rule and reign in this region, this whole region called Ohio, and even beyond that. But specifically in this region. So when I walk in the grace of God that he has given me, my grace fits into this grace. So I would never do anything knowingly that would offend Pastor Louis Ortena. My heart would be to serve them, to bless them, to do something in the church that would build the church up and honor them at the same time. So you see, in that way, I would be submitting myself and making myself accountable to them also. You see, it's not just about someone. You can't just do anything that you want in the kingdom. This is a kingdom. It's a real kingdom with a real king. And it has, now please understand this, it has principles and laws that affect the kingdom of God. That actually, do you understand why Jesus said that discipleship is so important? Disciple, and this is a word that Jesus chose. And I know that we've chosen lots of other words, but there's something very significant about this word when he made those who followed him disciples. And that was the whole emphasis of discipline. The whole emphasis of discipline. Because you see, let's face it, now if we went to glory right now, this second. Now, lots of people, you see, I think what really happens is that, of course, you go through into this wonderful place, and you know the presence of Jesus is there. You feel his love and the light, and you need a little second to adjust because it's so bright there. I'm absolutely certain, you see, the valley of the shadow of death, we just go through there, get this new ability to see, and there we are in the light. But I want to tell you, when you get there, you can't do anything that you want. Christians say, we're just going to be resting on a cloud, playing harps, just relaxing and doing anything we want, and just, there'll be no more tears, no more crying, and all that. I want to tell you, some of us are going to get a big shock. We're actually moving into a kingdom that has principles and laws. It has protocol. Do you realize that? Protocol. When you come before the king, you won't just come anywhere that you want. Do you realize that actually the moment you were saved, oh, I'm digressing now, but I can't help it, who cares? Lord, when you got saved, you were clothed internally with the garment of salvation. Did you know this thing? When you were, so Jesus says, and I don't remember where it's at, but Jesus says that actually he went out and invited lots of people to come to the banquet and come into the kingdom to see the king. And they all came in, both good and bad, it says. But there was one man who was dressed and he stood out from all the others. And Jesus said, the king came to him and said, what are you doing here, friend? Because you're not wearing the right garments. You see, you're standing out, you're not wearing the right garments. You've got to wear the right garments to come into heaven. So, of course, when you were born again, what happened on the inside was that you were clothed in a garment of salvation. So that when you die, you are not naked, but you are clothed. Now, this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, sorry, 1 to 4, it says these very things. Paul says that, you know, when this outer, you see, inside this flesh is a thin, stunningly attractive young man. And when this flesh, when it drops off, so to speak, I am a spirit man. So I am this man. You understand me? I am this man. Just like Jesus, when he died and rose from the dead, he said, no, it's me. It's me. Look, see, touch, feel. It's me. What we're going to be made in is the same image. So I'm a spirit man that's alive in the spirit, but actually the moment that I got saved, I was clothed with the garment of salvation. Now you see, the whole point of discipleship, the whole point of learning to become a son is so that you can be clothed with all the clothing that he's got for you. You understand me? Not just a salvation, but it says we should put on, therefore, doesn't he say that? Tender mercies. Who would like some tender mercies? We had a ball on Sunday. I was saying, I mean, I've got to be careful, but I was saying this, you know, some people, they're miserable. And the reason that I know they're miserable is because their face looks like it's been pickled. The miserable, you see, I can tell the miserable. Now, you see, what they've got to do is take off the misery and put on the garment of praise. Huh? They've got to do that, haven't they? So if you want to get out of misery, you've got to take it off, confess it as it was, it what it is, lay it down, let it die, but at the same time, you've got to put on another garment. And the thing is about these garments, the more that you put them on, the more they become you. You understand me? So eventually what happens is that when we die and go into this kingdom, we are clothed in beautiful array. We are not found naked, but we are clothed. Our, whatever we call it, translucent man is clothed in beautiful garments. Oh, it's wonderful. I could get excited. I get more and more excited about going over there. But I tell you, there's work to be done here. And I think it was the Lord that allowed me to see what I looked like to him. That was wonderful. And he said, Paul, I want you to understand that even in your weakest moments, the devil sees you like this. Arrayed like this. Oh, it was powerful. And I needed to hear that, you see, because at that point, I was weeping after probably about 2 days of weeping before him going, oh, please get me out of this place. I don't want to be here anymore. But he said, Paul, at this point right now, this is what you look like. Ooh, something happened. I suddenly felt like, oh, there must be angels all around me. Huh? And that's what's exciting about being a son. Because that really is what happens. Once you begin to believe these things, begin to see these things, you can have whatever you see. You can have it. It's there already. Do you understand me? There's nothing more that Jesus is going to do because it's already been done. There's nothing more. Nothing. No, listen to me. Nothing. So it's not like you're going to go upstairs and Jesus is going to go, oh, I'm going to deal with the sin now. No, Jesus has dealt with the sin. deal with that sickness now. No, no, he's dealt with the sickness. He has dealt with it. You understand me? He's dealt with these things. And somehow we are grasping and embracing and desiring to live in what he's already done. But this kingdom, as we're talking about it, it's got laws and principles and protocol. So you can't just do anything. And you see, what lots of people have failed to understand is that actually, although we have got this mission on earth, this is just getting us ready for what's to come. And I don't know about you, but I want some cities up there. He said, Paul, if you've been faithful with one, I'm going to give you 10. Ooh, I wouldn't mind a planet or two. Huh? I honestly am excited about what's coming. And that thrills me and keeps me kind of moving through all this that's going on the earth. It just thrills me so much that it empowers me to continue in Mission Earth. You understand that? And that's, we've got to see this more and more. So, what I wanted to talk about was this place from going from, you see, because we know that we're children of God. It says it, doesn't it? We're children of God. How many of us know that we're children of God? Praise the Lord, we're all children of God. But you see, Jesus was a child. He was born as a baby, went through childhood, grew into a son, and he was obedient to the Father in heaven, but he was also subject to his parents on the earth. Now, you see, lots of us don't understand. And can I just say, I just want to, just let me turn you to this. It says in 1 Thessalonians, and I really do, and I mean it with all my heart, the more that I think about Pastor Louis and Tina and their hearts, the more that I believe that you are so blessed and you have got to begin to appreciate and understand how blessed you are. And I don't mean, can I just say this? I don't mean some kind of surface honor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a heartfelt, deep-felt appreciation for what God has given you. Listen to this. These are the words of Paul. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. You were witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would also walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." You see, what Paul's saying is this. Paul's saying, I was a father to you and I was a mother to you. And I imparted not only the gospel, but I imparted my own life to you so that you might go from being a child and come through and grow up so that you would walk worthy, not only here, but for the kingdom. You understand me? And I look at Pastor Louis and Tina, and I believe that they have worked so hard, tirelessly, in this region. Oh, tirelessly, all these years. And you all should begin to go, we have got an example of what it means to love and to follow Jesus. We have got an example in front of us. We are the children of God, but Lord, you want to make us into sons. You want to show us things. You see, when I first saw, I hope you don't mind me talking like this. I think people need to know anyway. When I first came to this place, which was 18 years ago, I think, maybe even longer than that. And I remember seeing Pastor Louis and Tina, because they brought us over the first time. And I said to the Lord, Lord, there were things about them that I desired in my own life. And I went, I want to learn everything that I can from these two servants of yours. I want to learn it because I want to look like that. Now you say, I don't know how many people understand this, but you all need fathers and mothers. And you also need to become a son. And I'm talking to the ladies as well, because you were all firstborn sons. But you need to become this because you are going to be fathers and mothers to many who are going to come into the kingdom. But you cannot be a father before you've been a son. You understand that? You can't be it. So you've got to learn to walk as a son. And that means that you've got to be discipled. And being discipled means that you've got to be equipped with a word, which is what takes place all the time from this platform and from the other platform, all the time. The word of God coming forth. And these words are not just to tickle your ears. They are to make you become the person that you can become. That's not because God doesn't love you just as you are, because he does love you just as you are, but he's got something more for you to become. You were operating in 10% of your potential. And I'm probably operating 20%. I don't know. Maybe you are operating in more than that. But I tell you what, there's lots more potential that we can become. And we've got the opportunity. You see, Jesus was not only subject to his father, but he was subject to his parents. He not only learned from his father, but he learned, do you realize in Luke chapter 2, it says that Jesus sat and listened to the teachers. He dialogued with them. He wanted to learn. He was pulling things. He was reading the scrolls. He was getting all, and you go, no, he was the son of God. No, he was the son of man. He was also the son of God. Of course he was, but he became a man just like me and you in order to show us how to walk and live with the father. So he didn't have any kind of privilege. You know, he wasn't this little, just pulling words of knowledge as a baby out of God. He didn't just have this kind of umbilical cord that was like just there flowing things into him all his life. He wasn't like that at all. He laid aside some of those attributes in order to become like me. And so to show me, Paul, this is how I did it. This is what I did. I became subject to my parents as I was subject to my father. I listened to my father in my spirit, but I also heard the word and read the word. I did things that I knew I should do. And in thus doing, he was discipled himself. So when he became 30 years old, the father said to him, "You are my son." Didn't he? "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." You remember that? 30 years old. And then the power of God fell on him. But there was something about that. There was something about that process of moving from a child to a son that was not only very heavenly, but it was very earthly. And somehow our Christian lives have to become much more earthly. And I don't, please understand me. They are heavenly. We're to become heavenly, but we're also to become somehow. This is the earth. This is where we are. We have to get honest and open and vulnerable and accountable and all the words that you don't like and I don't like. We have to become that more and more. Our Christianity has to become real on the ground. Really real. He has to get to the place where the fellas can share with the fellas without feeling guilty and condemned. But at the same time, lay aside the things that are not good and pick up the things that are good and be encouraged in the Lord to move on. It's the same for the ladies. That's where it's got to get. Because somehow this thing that we live has got to become real and you've got to know it's real. Because everybody outside knows when it's not real. They all know when it just looks like a show and it's actually not authentic. They all know it. Well, we don't want any more of that. We want some reality, but we want to be powerful sons of God on the earth. Don't we? Oh, glory. Yeah, you can smile. Let's see. That's a nice smile. You're enjoying that, are you? Praise God. That's good. That's a nice smile. Whoa. So, let me just go to this. What time is it? Sorry, 8:20. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's just go to Genesis. I just want to do this really, really quickly. Genesis and chapter 9. Now, this is about three sons, the sons of Noah. So, I want to read from verse 19 of Genesis 9. It says, these were three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Praise the Lord. 950 years, just think. Whew. It's amazing what sin has done. Huh? But this is, so Noah, the father, has three sons. Now you see, when you're a son, there's certain things you do and there's certain things you don't do. Now you see, I know that there are many Christians who call themselves, they'll read those verses and say, I'm a son. Well, that's a great thing. But true sons behave and speak and act and react in certain ways. There's certain things they do and there's certain things that they don't do. And of course, I've been coming to America long enough to know that actually the church kills its own. The church is ungracious to one another. The churches towards other churches are very ungracious, are very nasty, critical, and speaking against one another. And all those kind of things, and all that's got to stop. It's got to stop. We've got to go, that's stopping now, we're not going to do that. What we hear in this room, what we do as a church together, remains in this house. What we see, when we see people hurting, when we see them pained, when we see them exposed, because of course you do see brothers and sisters exposed, and I don't mean physically exposed, but I mean you see people who are hurting, you know their pain, you get to know about it, you see it, what do you do with those things? Because when you're a real son, you react and act in a certain way. And you see, this is really very sad because one of the sons who was now a grown man, he was a grown son to Noah, he had not learned the lessons of walking as a genuine son. Now, I don't know how old his son was. I don't know how old Ham was. But he had been walking with his father for many, many years. And it's obvious that his father had taught his sons how to behave. Because if his father had not taught his sons how to behave, all three sons would have done the same thing. But two of the sons did the right thing and one did the wrong thing. So we can see that Noah was teaching, as a father, his sons to walk worthy of the kingdom. Okay? So, it says there that he drank wine, and sometimes, you know, we become uncovered because of different things. Can I say that? Now, this was a silly thing to do, but we all do silly things from time to time. So be careful. We all do silly things from time to time, but there's also other things that uncover us. You remember the young man that was stood at the cross? It says then they all forsook him. I think it's Mark 14 and verse 50. It says they all forsook Jesus. They all fled, and there was a young man there, and we think that was John Mark, at the cross, and it says he fled, and as he fled, he lost his garment. And he fled naked. Well, why did God put that in there? Why did he put that in there? He put that in there because when pressure comes, when external pressure comes, it shows you internally what's going on with you. Because it exposes you, doesn't it? And all of them fled, all of them forsook him, they all ran away, so they were all exposed under that pressure. What was in them came out of them, and they went, what have we believed? What are we doing? Let's do a runner. All our dreams have gone. That's what they were doing, running away. But the Lord somehow just went, okay, this guy is going to show symbolically what it means to be exposed. And he was exposed. He has a great story, though, because in the end, he made it. You understand me? And once someone gets exposed, you see, because the Holy Ghost does expose us. But he doesn't expose us to condemn us or make us feel guilty. He exposes us in order to heal us and to restore us. That's the only reason he exposes us. And even people who have prophetic words and say some things, you know, they have to be careful. I want to tell you, we need to start preaching some of that stuff. They need to be careful what they're talking about, because you are God's most precious, precious asset. You. He loves you. And when people's information comes out publicly, he does not love that. I can tell you that now. There's nothing that he hates when things are public. But this is what he says here. He says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So he came in, he saw nakedness, he saw something that actually should have remained right there, and he should have done something about it. But instead, he didn't do anything about it, and he walked right out of the doors, and he told his brothers and sisters. I want to tell you, in churches all over this country, all over my country, that goes on every single week. People walk out of the doors and talk to one another, and what should have been inside goes outside. Well, that's not good. That's not good. So we're not going to, you're going to say to the Lord and I, that's not going to happen in this house. It's never going to happen in this house. What is going on in this house, you see, and even some things like this go on, that this house has a word from God, and it is a word from God, much like Peter received a word from God and brought it to the Cornelius' household. This word has received a word from God that's been brought into the household, and this household corporately is working towards the fulfillment of that vision that God has given. Well, when you're together in this house, you are hearing things that are for you as a household. And of course, other people can come into that and they can listen to that. But sometimes you've got to listen carefully to the word that you're getting and not just go straight out there and begin to share it with people, because sometimes if they're not understanding what's going on in the house, they don't understand the word out there either. So you have to be careful about how you operate in this household. You understand that? So, this is what he says. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So he had no respect, no honor, no discretion, and no confidentiality. What did he just show us? He showed us that he was not walking as a son. That's what he showed us. And everybody that goes outside and gossips and talks and says things that they've seen and says this about the neighbour and said this about this and this and this, and we don't like that church and we don't like that pastor and we don't like that and we don't like that. I want to tell you, you are showing everybody how naked you really are. That's what you're doing. You see, because sometimes I just go, oh Lord, forgive us. Because you see, a lot of people accuse, oh, it's the pastor's fault, it's the devil, it's this, it's this. No, I want to tell you, you undermined yourself single-handedly without any help from anybody. So don't blame it on the devil, and don't blame it on your neighbour, and don't blame it on anybody else, because most Christians manage to undermine their own standing just by their own mouth, their own behaviour. So no respect, no discretion, no confidentiality, no honour. He took what should have been in the house and he took it outside and shared it. Not good. So then it says this, but Shem and Japheth took a garment. And this is beautiful. They took a garment. You remember that little passage in Genesis 3? It says that Adam and Eve were running about in the garden, hiding away because of the sin. And they took fig leaves and sewed them together, trying to cover themselves up because the glory of God had lifted from them. So now they were exposed. It's not that his love had lifted, the glory and the presence of God had lifted from him. Now they were exposed, so they tried to cover themselves up. And they took fig leaves and sewed those together. But Jesus came walking and talking in the garden. He said, no, you can't do that. Now, take those fig leaves off. You understand me? They had to take them off. They had to put to death the old stuff. Take it off. And let me do something for you. And he took that animal. You remember? He took the animal. Oh, poor little animal. Give me a break. Finished it off. And when he did that, the blood of that animal covered their sin. Because it's a life for a life. Well, you remember the whole story. So I don't have to go into that. But then he took the skin of that animal and clothed them with that garment. You see, this is what they did. They took a garment and they covered him with it. And actually, I was going to show you tonight, but we don't have time. Do we have time? Okay. So, Noah. This is Noah. He's a very old man. Just lay down there, yeah. And is there another gentleman that'd like to come? Now, this is what it says. So just do this. It says, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders. Laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, maybe we'll let him breathe. But you see, the shoulders always donate, always mean the symbolic of bearing the burden, taking responsibility. You know, they put the pictures on the shoulders. Always. It was a picture of taking responsibility, bearing the burden, sharing the pain of someone else. And not only that, Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says that the government is on the shoulders. You see, what they showed was not only that they understood the Father's heart, because they laid a garment upon him, they restored his dignity, they restored his honor, his self-esteem. You see, God doesn't want, he doesn't glory in any sin. He doesn't glory in any of those things. He's not pleased about any of those things. And in fact, you see, I know many, many times when the Lord has whispered things into my ear about someone standing, how they are doing, it's nearly as though he tells me their personal things and I just know, oh Lord, you love this person so much. And he would never share those things with anyone. With anyone. And actually, this is what he says. He says they turned their faces away. You know, I once asked the Lord about this. I said, Lord Jesus, what happens when I sin? And I know that I've got angels around me. What happens when I grieve your spirit and the angels who are around me? What do they do? Surely they cannot look on it. And immediately he said to me, Paul, they turn the faces away, but they never ever leave your presence. Never leave your presence. Just turn the faces away. And I believe it's something like the cherubim do. Because there's something about that in the Old Testament. And I believe again that this is all a sign of maturity. You can get up if you want. Have you had a nice sleep? It's all a sign of maturity. That the two brothers, Japheth and Shem, did what was right. They showed to the father that they had grown up. Their behavior, the speech, the way that they did things, was a visible manifestation of their growing up. But the other son, Ham, now listen to me. This is what's so sad about this. This is what he says here. It says, cursed be Canaan. So Noah woke up, got up in the morning. He said, cursed be Canaan. Hang on, Canaan, he want anything to do with it? Well, why Canaan? Well, why not Ham? But you say, I believe that this is really what had happened. All those years, Ham had been disobedient. Ham had been showing his own son how to live. What to do, what not to do. All those years, he had been exemplifying either the right or the wrong way to live to his own children. And you see, I believe that at this point, and you see, cursed be Canaan. You see, I actually believe that, that disobedience, the other side of obedience, means everything that's not good. It's not God that curses anybody. But the other side of obedience is disobedience, and with disobedience comes things that are not good. And God had seen this all these years. He'd seen Ham and given him time after time and said, look, son, you can grow up, you can behave well. You've got it in you to do it. You know the way, you know the word. You've had the same opportunities of your other brothers. Come on, walk worthy of the kingdom. Because when you walk like this, you can have the inheritance. But of course he didn't do that. And because of the way that he lived, his own son was affected by his example. And I want to tell you this. Someone came to us. These things happen for a reason. Someone came to me yesterday and she said, you've got to help us with the children's ministry. You know, this was a leader who was doing children's ministry. She said, you know, I have an hour and a half every week with the children. And you know, it's not easy. What do we do? What do we do? And I said, well, actually, the answer to that is pretty radical. Because, you see, an hour and a half, you're not going to manage to change them in an hour and a half. But what you need to do is sit the parents down. Whether the single parents or whoever they are, guardians, sit them down. And say, do you know that God has given you a responsibility? God has given all of you. It is not Pastor Louis and Tina's responsibility to bring your children up in the ways of the Lord. It's your responsibility. Oh yeah, it's yours. Let it be known. It's your responsibility. You can choose to show them an example by the way that you walk. And something has got to happen in this nation, in my nation. There's got to be a turn, and it's got to be the word of God that becomes life in us so that we actually begin to walk it on the earth. That it becomes a reality on the earth, and that we begin to raise up children who would have a different spirit. The hearts of the fathers has got to be turned to the children again, and vice versa. And we will get there, won't we? So the spirit of sonship, this is what God wants. He wants you to come into sonship. And you have got every opportunity to do so. You have got a mum and dad who love you. They have got an incredible CV. So don't you start saying, they don't have to show anyone. They've already shown what they've done. You understand me? Now, you've got to go, okay, I choose to learn from these people. I choose to learn from mum and dad. I choose to learn because I want to walk in this way. So, you see, I could put him up here, Adam, and he'd sound just like me. And that's not because he's tried to sound like me. It's because somehow what's in me has been imparted into him because he's a son. You understand me? And we've got to think longevity, generation to generation to generation. If the Lord should tarry, what are we going to do in 8 generations from now? I know that we've already raised up 4 generations. In our own church, we've already raised up 4 generations. I want to raise up for the generations. Huh? And if they all become sons, we're going to have a wonderful influence on the face of the earth. So I want to encourage you. You can walk in power of the Holy Ghost as you begin to walk worthy. Walk worthy. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Father. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that you were so good to us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the example that you are to us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, please help us, Lord. Help us to walk in the same way that you walk, Lord. Help us not to give excuses any longer, Father. Lord Jesus, We know that many times, Father, we fall short, sometimes in our attitudes, in our words, Lord. And Father, I just want to pray, Lord, over this house, Lord, where there has been gossip, where there's been talk, Lord, where we've taken things outside that should remain inside, Lord. Father, we ask that you would forgive us, Father, as a congregation, Lord. Father, we say that the enemy has no right over us. He has no right to use these things, and we shut them down in the name of Jesus, Father. But Lord, I ask, Lord, that we would begin to be those sons who would honour, who would walk in great honour, Lord, who would respect and have discretion, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray in this house, Lord, that you would raise up sons. Raise up sons, Father, in this house. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your love and your mercy. Oh, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for raising up genuine, real, authentic sons who are going to walk on the face of the earth, Lord. Who will cause principalities and powers to tremble, Father. Who will open the gates, Father. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Father, we call forth sons in this house, Lord. We call them forth, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we say there will be sons, Father, who walk in the same spirit and the same heart as the father and mother of this house, Lord, who walk in the same excellent spirit, Lord, who walk in the same generous spirit, Father, who walk in the Holy Ghost and in power, Lord, who walk in prayer and humility, Father. Lord Jesus, we call it forth in your name, Jesus. We say, rise up, O church, rise up, sons of God, rise up, daughters of God, rise up. We will see doors, sons in this household, Father, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power and might, Lord. Oh, Jesus, cover your sin in the kingdom, your sabbath and the cabarian, san and anta. Rebidianto, cosibarodianta, kissini de kimberianto. Roberianto, cosibidi de kibrio, sambarodianta, kasan and anta. Rimpe his shop, oh, ekebe hejanto, cojanta, kissin and ente. Robododianta, kissem and ente, kibidianto. Ropa hachata, kissin and ente. Rembidianto, cosibidianta, kemberian, sobo, janta. Oh, Father, Lord, we just come against all falsehood, Father. Everything, Father, that is false, Lord. We say in the name of Jesus, we don't want to be false in any way, Lord. We don't want to be pretenders, Father. But, Lord, we want to be real people, genuine people, full of the Holy Ghost. Father, walking on the earth with heaven inside us, Jesus. Oh Lord, cover your sibidi de cabri your samananta cabrianta. Robot of the anta kissibidi de cabri on samananto cosibi inchanta. Father, we bless you. We love you. We glory in your name, Jesus. Cover your sibidi de cabri your supper of the copper chata kissin in inta. Robot of the anta kissibro de cobri your sibi inchanta. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Life, Lord. The spirit of life, Lord. Spirit of life, Lord. Oh, real life, Lord. Your life, Jesus. The spirit of life, Lord. In this house, more and more, Lord. Spirit of life, Lord. Cobra your seminanta. Spirit of liberty. Oh, of love, Father. Of grace and of joy, Father. Of freedom, Lord. Over this household, Father. Oh, in the hearts of your people, Father. That we might dance, Lord. That we might dance, Lord, in the kingdom of this earth, Lord. That we might dance, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the exploits and the adventures, Lord, that you have already prepared beforehand, Father. We thank you for all the works, Father, that are prepared beforehand in the name of Jesus, Father. And Lord, we want to receive those things, Father, into our spirit right now. Oh, come on, if you want some exploits, if you want some exploits in God, then just raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. Oh, Father, exploits and adventures, Father, works that have been prepared, Father, in heaven, Lord. We pull them down in the name of Jesus, Father. We pull them down, Father, in the name of Jesus. We say yes, Lord, to every promise. We say yes, Lord, to all the dreams, Father, that you've put into our hearts, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, pull it down, Father. We pull it down, Father. Cobri on Samaranta. Rebidi di Anteke Sibro, Cobri on Sibri di Cabriel Samaranta. Ropa Hanchanta. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you were so good. You were so good, Lord. Cobri on Samaranta. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. That was a provoking word tonight. We thank the Lord for it. Thank you, Paul, for blessing us and provoking us on to go to another level in Jesus. Tonight, we're going to, on our way out, receive a love gift for Paul. So you could give something at the door that would be, I think, acceptable, be in order to do that. So as the Lord would move upon your heart, I want you to consider what he might speak to you about sowing into the man of God. And so, Lord, thank you tonight. That while we're in this place, we know that you have a divine plan for each of us. And so just for one moment, if you'll pray with me, bow your heads. And if you're here tonight and you're not really right with God, you're drifted away, or maybe you've never been born again. You're here tonight in this room and you'd like to get right with the Lord. You'd like to be born again. If that's you tonight, you say, Pastor, I need that. I need that prayer. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to rededicate my life to him. Would you pray for me? Well, of course we will. And if that's you tonight in this room, you say, I need that prayer. I want you just to lift your hand up and hold it there for a minute that I might see it. If that's you, and then I'll pray for you. Okay? Amen? All right. God bless all of you. Amen? All right, let's all stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, tonight we take this word. We thank you that you have given us a mature word, that this is our house, and we don't necessarily verbalize things out there that happen here with the members. We cover our members. We cover our one another. We cover this house and its vision, and we thank you for that, Lord. We receive that word tonight. We want to walk in sonship. We want to walk in your power and walk in your glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Well, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. If you need prayer, altar ministers, would you come in the front? If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. So, altar ministers, just join me across the front here.